Our text tonight in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 is addressed to Christians. It says, make your calling and election sure. You know, if there's anything that people ought to be sure about, it's where they're going to spend eternity. If there's anything that people ought to be sure about, it's their soul and where it's headed. We ought to be sure that we're saved. We ought to be sure that and that we know that we're saved. We ought to know how we got saved. And the Bible speaks of those that have been saved as God's elect. As God's elect. And the word elect means chosen. It means chosen. And it's a real blessing to understand that before God hung a star in the sky, before he made anything in the heavens and the earth, that he already knew when you and I would get saved. He already knew when we would ask Jesus to be our Savior. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, here's the thought as I was thinking about this. Here's the thought that really blessed me. If he already knew when I was going to get saved, then he knew everything else about my life before the world was created. He knew every sin that I would commit. He knew every weakness that I would have. He knew every problem, every heartache, every sorrow that I would have. God knew everything that was going to happen in my life, including the moment that I knew I was a sinner and knew there was a penalty for that sin and knew that Jesus was the only way that I could get right with God again. He knew when I was going to be down on my knees in front of that red vinyl couch in my pastor's study. He knew that moment, and he knew every other moment that was going to transpire in my life. And the same for you. He knew every moment. Some people think there's things in our life that surprise God. No, 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 no. He knew everything that was going to happen before we were born, including when we were going to get saved. The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And so if we've been elected, if we've been saved, what that verse in Romans is saying, that in his sight, there is no charge that can be made against us. The Bible calls Satan the great accuser. And I can just picture it in my mind sometime up in heaven around the throne of God, where Satan is accusing us day and night before God. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, every accusation that Satan hurls against us, if it's true, our mediator says, yep, that's under the blood. It's under the blood. Been forgiven, been forgotten, been washed away before it even happened. There's no charge that can stick to our record because we've been elected. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Again, just simply says that before the world was, the foundation of the world was laid, that God knew when we would be saved, knew every step of our life, knew every moment of our life. And a lot of people say, when you talk about stuff like this, they say, oh, yeah, we know about election and we know about predestination. And they say there's some people that were elected to be saved and there's some people that are elected to be damned. Some people have been chosen by God to be saved. Some people have been chosen by God to not be saved, to die and to go to hell. And I want to tell you tonight, there is absolutely nothing in the Bible that teaches that. There is nothing in the Bible that God chose some to be saved and chose some not to be saved. That God picked some to go to heaven and picked others to go to hell. In fact, my Bible says and your Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, any should die and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. Salvation is a whosoever thing. And a person is damned and penalized to hell because they will not come to Christ. They will not come to Christ. God didn't pick them. God didn't choose them. He gives the opportunity to every single person. He wants every single person to be saved. And people die, are lost, and they go to hell because they choose not to come to Jesus Christ. All right, listen. Election has absolutely nothing to do with an unsaved person. Listen. Election has absolutely nothing to do with an unsaved person. It has to do with people that are members of the family of God. Like most Bible doctrines, I'm sorry, let me say that again. Like all Bible doctrines and most Bible truths, election is for God's children. It's to help us to understand what happened when we got saved. Did you ever stop and think about that? All the doctrines in this book, they're not for unsaved people. They're for us. And most of the truth that's in this book, again, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, it's not for the unsaved. It's for us. It's for those of us that are part of the family of God. And election, it falls into that category. Election has nothing to do with those that are lost. It has everything to do with us. And so this verse says tonight, be diligent, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. My message tonight is to mention five things that we can do to make our election sure. Now, I want to tell you before we start, it's already sure in the mind of God. It says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So our election is sure in the mind of God. What this verse is encouraging us to do is to make it sure in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. And tonight, I want to make five statements and give you five ways that you can do that and that I can do that. Number one, make your election sure by public confession. By public confession. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. When somebody asks you the question, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Are you right with God? Your answer should not be, I think so, or I hope so, or I'm praying about it. Your answer ought to be a confident, unhesitant, faith-filled, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've been born again. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I am right with God. There's some people today, like those that are mentioned in John chapter 12, verse 42, where the Bible says, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were Christian. They had asked Jesus to save them, but they didn't make a public profession of it. They didn't tell others because they thought the Jewish leaders would throw them out of the synagogue. And there are people today that don't readily confess they're Christian because they think it might cost them something. They say, oh yeah, I'm saved, but let's not make a big deal out of it. Well, I want to tell you, it is a big deal. It cost God, his only begotten Son, to die on a cross to save us. And when somebody asks us if we're a Christian, it doesn't matter what it might cost us, because I want to tell you, when you get to heaven, it'll be a whole lot worth, it'll be worth a whole lot more than whatever it costs you down here on earth. And by the way, I think we're coming to a day where it will begin to cost us more and more to stand for Christ. I think we're coming to a day where it'll cost us more and more in our reputations, even in our business dealings, in what people think about us and what people call us. But we need to resolve before those days come. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed to say so. If you ask me that I'm saved, it doesn't matter what environment I'm in. It doesn't matter who I'm with, I'm going to say, yes, 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 I'm saved. I'm right with God. I've been born again. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses that we use when we're trying to lead people to the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When our hearts believe unto righteousness, it ought to open our mouth. Now look, if you've been, I don't know of anybody in this category, but I'm going to say it because the Holy Spirit lead me to say it. If you're here tonight and you've been saved and you've never walked the aisle and publicly professed him and told people by walking the aisle that you're a Christian, you ought to do it tonight. Say, preacher, it's been years and years and years since I've been saved. It doesn't matter. You need to publicly confess him. That's why we have baptism. Baptism is a public confession that you're identifying with Christ. And if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, I don't care how long it's been since you've been saved. If you've never been baptized, you ought to come. We're going to have baptism next week. We got a little boy to baptize next week. You ought to come tonight and say, hey, next week I want to be baptized too. I want to make a public profession that I've been saved. When people ask you that if you're a Christian, don't hesitate. Say, yes, I am. I know Jesus as my Savior. That way, that's one of the ways we make sure of our election, by publicly confessing him. Number two, make your election sure by an absolute trust in this book. Because you see, the Bible is the foundation of the whole thing. It's the abstract title and deed. It's the entire description of all that we have in Jesus Christ. The reason that we know that we got it is because this book tells us that we got it. The way to make your election sure is to have faith in this book. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And repeatedly in the book of 1 John, it uses the word know. It gives you some test in that book to test your life against, to know. Look, it's not emotions. It's not how you feel. I think we ought to have emotions. I think we ought to get excited about the things of God. I mean, you don't have to be here very long to know that I believe that. I mean, I think emotions are important. But I'm not depending on my emotions because I'm not excited all the time. It may be hard for some of you to believe, but there are times when I'm not excited. It shouldn't depend on our tears. I think there are some things about the things of God that ought to make us weep. But my no-so is not based on how I feel. It's not based on water running down my cheeks. It's based on what this book tells me. In John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so it's not I think so, not I hope so, not I'm praying about it. It's a hath. I hath it. I have it. Because this book tells me. In our Bible study Wednesday night, I mentioned a couple things that are only recorded in the Bible in the book of Jude. No other place in the Bible. And I mentioned in our Bible study that there are some people, because it's only mentioned one place in the Bible, don't think they really happened. They think it's a mistake that it's in the book of Jude. And I made the statement, I said, my simple childlike faith in this book says if it's in there, even if it's only one time, I believe it. I have one of our men on the way out of church Wednesday night come up to me and said, preacher, I really appreciated you saying that. I really appreciated you saying that, because if we don't take the Bible, all of it, then we can't take none of it. I said, you're absolutely right. If we're gonna, it's not a smorgasbord. We can't pick and choose. We got to take it all. I got to believe in simple, childlike faith that this is the book and the very words that God wants me to have. I think about that song that Mr. Jameson likes to sing all the time. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Make your election sure by having absolute confidence and faith in this book. Number three, make your election sure by recognizing and acknowledging that the Holy Spirit lives within you. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached and the people listened and they heard his sermon and they asked the question, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we got saved, when I got saved, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in every single one of us. When we got saved, he moved in to our bodies. Our bodies in the Bible are referred to as the temple of God. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in this building. It's a church building, but the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in this building until you and I come in. When you and I come in, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and when we come into this place, then the Holy Spirit comes into this place. And by the way, it's not in my notes, I just thought about it. You know, sometimes God sends you a thought right in the middle. If we bring him into this place, we take him every place else we go to. Amen. We better be careful where we're taking the Holy Spirit. There's some places we've probably taken that he'd just not, soon not be there. And if we're listening to him, he'll say, get out of here. I don't want to be here. I don't want you here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Make your election sure. Understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is none of his. All right, I got to hurry. I don't want to keep you over two services in one day. Number four, make your election sure by winning other people to Christ. Go back to what we said last Sunday night. In the first few chapters of Genesis, the expression, after his kind, appears over and over and over again. God's will is that everything bring forth fruit after his kind. God wants every Christian to produce fruit after his kind. In other words, other Christians. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Make your election sure by winning other people to Christ. And then number five, quickly, make your election sure by growing in grace. By growing in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growth is a good sign you've been saved. Growing in Christ is a good sign, a good way to make your election sure. And you know, I was thinking about Apostle Peter probably was a good authority to speak on that. Because there were times in his life where he didn't grow. There were times in his life that he didn't press upward. He just sort of stayed in neutral or went sideways. There was even a time when he even denied that he knew Christ. Like those folks that we read earlier, he stood around the campfire that night and a little girl came to him and I can't remember who the other two was. Oh yeah, you're one of his disciples. Yeah, we saw you in the garden. Oh no, not me. I don't know him. The last one that came to him will say, yeah, your speech gives you away. We can tell just by the way you talk, you're one of his disciples. And we know the story. Peter cursed, denied that he knew Christ. You know, if we're going to grow physically, we need health, we need food, we need exercise. If we're going to grow spiritually, we need the same thing. We need spiritual health. We need the Holy Spirit's help to get sin out of our life. We need food. We need to feast on this book. We need exercise. We need to do what this book says. We need to serve the Lord. When we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can have the assurance that our election is sure. Make your election sure. It's already sure in the mind of God. He knows who are His. We need to make it sure in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for electing us. We're saved. We're under the blood. You knew about it before you created the world. You knew about every part of our life. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die and pay for all our sins. And Father, I pray if there's just one person here tonight that has never believed with their heart and confessed with their mouth, that tonight they would see their sin, they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would ask Jesus to save them. Right where they sat, they can pray. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe the pastor when he says there's a penalty for that sin, and I believe the Bible when it says that Jesus paid for it. And tonight I want to ask him to be my Savior. I pray, Father, you'd help every unsaved person here tonight pray that prayer and mean it with their whole heart. And in just a second when we sing, I pray you'll help them confess it publicly, that they'll come down the aisle. And if they need help in praying the prayer, we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch the heart and the mind of every person that's here that's never been saved. Help them to come to Jesus. And then, Father, to the Christians that are here, help us to know what we have. Help us to have that surety, that assurance of knowing that we belong to you, and make our election sure. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, use it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.